It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's once again time. It's such a sweet opportunity that we have to study the Word of God. We continue the study in the book of Philippians. We'll be reading today from chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 26 through 30. If you'd please turn to those pages in your scripture in the Bible so that you can follow along with us and read along with us, see what that precious Word has to say. While you're doing that, I'd love to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois. The address is 18th and Church Street. The zip code is 62341, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. I'd love to have you come and visit. I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. We study the Word of God. We love the Word of God. Once a month, I try to give you a schedule of what's going on. We have on Sunday morning at 9:30, we have Sunday school. 10:35 is church service. Sunday night at 7 o'clock is Bible study. Every Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock, we have a ladies' Bible study. Every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we have Bible study back here at the church. And so we love to study the Word of God. We also have this radio program. So please that you take an opportunity to study the Word of God. If you don't have don't go to church at all, come and see us. If you have a Sunday morning but nothing else, come and see us. Please that you will take this opportunity to study the Word of God with us. Now that you have opened your scripture, I would like for you to follow along with me as I read. Philippians chapter 1, verse 26. It says that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. Let me back up to verse 25. It'd be a little better place to have. And having this confidence, knowing that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct or conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. In nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Please that we go to the Lord in prayer now as we have read his precious word. Father, I ask you that you will strengthen, guide, and lead us. It's a joy to search your precious word. It's so wonderful to go verse by verse. It's wonderful, Father, to live in a country where we have the freedom and the opportunity to proclaim the Word of God, proclaim the truth. There are so many false teachers and false prophets, but Father, we have your precious Word, the Word of God, and we stand upon that precious Word. Now help us, guide, and lead us, Father, as we study this Word today. And I just ask for your wisdom, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We love the Word of God. We love studying the Word of God. We left off, and we'll continue there now with verse 27. We have talked about the confidence last week in verse 25. I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance and joy of faith. You know, he wants to help these people, and I ask that you come with a helpful and a wanting to serve heart. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. There's only one thing that's going to bring joy to anybody. You know, you can go to a counselor, a Christian counselor, or a counselor of any sort, whether he can get down deep into your heart and into your mind and give you this serious big problem that you have. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't have to do all that. The only thing I need to do is tell you that you're dying. The Scripture tells us in Romans, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then will you please come to Jesus today, because you're dying in your sin. Now, there's nothing that's going to not be taken care of. Anything you've done in your past can be and is forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus, and you need to come to Him by faith, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Oh, that's a wonderful message. That's wonderful news. And I don't have to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist to come in and tell you that you got a serious problem. Because if you don't know Jesus, you got a serious problem, and that problem is going to cost you your life, your spiritual life. You're going to die spiritually and be totally separated, sent into darkness, eternal fire, eternal. How can it be eternal darkness and fire? That's what the Scripture says. The burning, the gnashing of teeth. There's so many things the Scripture tells us about the life after this one. And I'll tell you what, it's ugly and it's mean, and you have no idea what it is, nor do I. I know what how the Word of God has taken human words and the language and tried to explain the horror and the terror of hell, of the lake of fire. But it doesn't do it justice. I don't want you to find out. I don't want anybody to find out. I want you to come by faith to Jesus and trust in Him today. Oh, that we will rejoice. Be busy about telling people about Jesus. Be busy yourself about coming to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Please, that you come today and be saved. And then it talks about the life, the walk that we should have after that. And we talked about last week in verse 27, let your conduct or your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Our life should be set to Jesus, to that precious gospel. There should be nothing that comes in. And you know, too often we join together for whatever common goal. We go together with another group or with some folks, and maybe that doubles our number. Maybe it helps us so we sound better when we sing. Maybe it just looks better because I can say I've got 60 instead of having 30 or 20 in church. Or maybe I've got 1,000 instead of having 500. But it all sounds better to us, you know. But we need to be of one spirit and with one mind. And we need to set that mind upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, my joy comes because of Jesus. Not because of Jesus that he just lived here on earth. Many people believe that Jesus lived here on earth. Many people believe that Jesus died. Many people celebrate once a year his resurrection. Many people celebrate the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus at Christmas time. Many people do that. But many people do not understand that he is alive today. And that Jesus is God. Now, when you begin to look at the Lord Jesus, the gospel of Christ, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, pleasing unto the gospel. Not only telling people the gospel, but also living the gospel. And the only way you can do that is to be a true believer in Jesus Christ. Oh, you can put on a face that looks good. You can put on actions that look good. But down deep in your heart, you know. And I tell you what, after a little while, you'll get tired of play acting. Well, you don't need to be acting when you're a Christian. You don't need to put on a phony smile. Because if you really search down deep in the precious Word of God and search that Word of God, and if you'll set your eyes upon that precious gospel to where you can see what Jesus did for you, that Jesus, yes, he was man, but he was God. And only the perfect sacrifice could go to that cross, the cross of Calvary, and die on that cross to save you from your sin. And then, my friend, because Jesus did not stay in the grave, 3 days and 3 nights later, he was seen. We've got some verses of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read a little bit later. It goes kind of down through the list of the folks that ran into him after the resurrection. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Please don't have it just in your head. You got to have it in your heart. And it says here, Paul is asking these people, I want something from you. I have given my life for the gospel. I have told people about Jesus. I have explained to people that they are dying and lost in their sin and they need to come by faith to Jesus. But I'm going to ask something of you folks that are the Church of Philippi. I want you to do something. And I want you to live a life that's pleasing unto the gospel of Christ. Be Christ-like. You've been bought and paid for by the precious blood. Now live like it. We give half of our life, or a fourth of our life, or a little bit of our life. But so few people give their whole and total life unto the Lord Jesus. It says here, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs. I want to hear what's going on. I want to hear that you're out witnessing to people. I want to hear that you've stopped going into the tavern. You've stopped the drinking. You've stopped the smoking. You've stopped the cursing. You stopped doing anything, whatever it was that God told you to stop doing, you were doing it. I want to hear that you're faithful to the house of God. That's one thing that brings joy to me when I visit with somebody. And they're just been saved. Maybe they've been saved 6 months or a year or 10 years or 20 years. But you hear, and particularly a young Christian, it breaks my heart when they don't come. Because I know what they need. They need the Word of God. They need to be taught the Word of God. We got many folks, and maybe you're one of them, that's been saved a few months ago or a few years ago, and you got too busy making money. You got too busy at your work. You got too busy with your family that you thought something was more important than the gospel of Christ. Listen to what Paul wants to hear. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or whether I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast. You see what he wants to hear? He wants to hear about their spiritual condition. He wants to hear that they're strong in the Lord Jesus. Oh, I love to hear that, and again, it breaks my heart when people, we have them here, we have folks that do not come into the house of God. They find some reason or excuse, and it's always that almighty dollar. Well, I'll tell you what, that almighty dollar is going to look pretty humble before the presence of God when they get there, if they're truly saved. Oh, my friend, we can watch them put lives back together, families back together, and then everything, when it's okay, then off they go their little way again. Oh, that's just a slap in God's face. My friend, wake up. Be alive. Have a walk and a talk that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus. Paul said, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear reports back from you that you love Jesus, that you're giving out the gospel. It tells us again in Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2, read last week, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. How do you do it? With all lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. Oh, I can't get along with Miss So-and-so in church. Well, you're supposed to forbear them, love them, pray for them, lift them up, but be there for them. Be there for them. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. You don't be lazy in the Word of God. You can't do this. You can't. He says here in the middle of verse 27, hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together. Literally, agonizing together as a team. Working together as a team, furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Working together as a team. Now let's look at that. You know that basketball season's just over. You have baseball season underway, track meet. And you know, as I was preparing this study, I got to thinking about how many basketball teams could win with one player on the floor. You know, I've known many very good basketball players. But without the other four, they're nothing. Even if there's two of you on the floor, you're not much count, and you'll never win a game. Maybe three, but even four, when the other team has five, they don't need to be near as good as you, and they can still beat you because they got one more player. Well, my friend, today, Satan is beating the church of God to death. And the church of God is withering away because the players aren't there. We're playing with a half a team. You even take a baseball game, and you're just short one player. And I don't care where you want to steal that player from. If you want to take him off third base, take him away from shortstop, move third over a little bit, move second around next to the bag a little bit closer, maybe you can survive, but not very well. Because it's not too long they're going to start hitting that ball right down third baseline. Or they're still going to find that hole between third base and second. They're going to put it right over the pitcher, right through that little hole, just off to the side just a little bit. Or maybe we'll try to get away without a full outfield. Let's take the center fieldman and we'll take him away, and we'll just move the left and the right fieldman over a little bit. They can cover that outfield without any trouble. No, they can't. No, they can't, because you see, and I've been sometimes when you're one man short, you know, you're playing summer softball, you're one man short. Well, you try to get by. Of course, that's supposed to be fun anyway. Sometimes it's not, but they say it's supposed to be fun. Well, you're out there and you're playing. You're one man short. And, you know, every time that you come around and you're at the it's your turn to bat. Every time that you come around, that ninth player that you don't have, it's an out counted against you. Boy, that's hard to overcome. Number one, you're playing without one less player than the other team. Plus, every time you bat around, you get an out. Automatically, you get an out. Well, you know, that's exactly the way the church is handicapped. Because we're not playing as a team. The team isn't here. Oh, you can give an excuse, and I'm sure the coach would love to have the excuses of the ball players, basketball or baseball, the two examples I used this morning today. Is you give that example of playing together, and here we're striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's the end of verse 27. The beginning of verse 27, let your conduct be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Your action, your walk, and your talk. And we're supposed to have a walk and a talk, and then bring that into the church. And that church is as a team, lifting up and giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ to watch folks be saved and grow. Remember what we say all the time, come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. That should be the team motto. But you see, the players don't show up. And the team is so handicapped that it seems to be a losing battle. And then they even become discouraged because they look and they don't see things happening. And so then they kind of mosey on someplace else. Someplace else where there'll be some fire and some power and some strength. And the whole thing boils down that you're walking your talk. And you were too lazy to show up for practice. You were too lazy to be there at every ball game. You hurt the team. Now why don't you become faithful as you would if you were a member of a ball team, basketball or baseball? Now many times we kind of play church like you do at a track meet. Now this is kind of track season here. Because everybody's doing their own thing. And with a track meet, unless you're on a relay of some sort, it's more of an individual sport. Well, we're much that way too in the church, because you have an individual talent. But we still have to play the game totally as a team. And when a team member doesn't show up, or a team member does not choose to use the talent that's God-given him, that team is going to suffer. And the problem is that we're not talking about something as minor as a ball game, losing a ball game. We're talking about something so serious as someone not hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, or refusing to trust in Jesus Christ because of a life that they see that other person's supposed to be a Christian, and because they don't see Jesus in that person, they say it must not be real. No matter what happens, the walk and the talk and the teamwork are lacking, and so by that lacking, people aren't getting saved. And when people aren't getting saved, that means they're going to hell. Now, we're not just playing a ball game here where you have an opportunity to lose one game, win another. Lose a game, win a game. So what? We lost a game. My friend, we're playing with a person's soul. And that person can go to hell just as fast as you can snap the fingers if we're not playing the game together. If we're not walking and talking as the two requirements, top and bottom of that 27th verse, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Your walk and your talk. And then the end of that verse, together, striving together, literally agonizing together, as a team thinks together. You'll never have a basketball team that ever wins unless they're of one mind. They're thinking together. They're thinking together. Now, the Scripture calls that here to be in one mind, one spirit, and one mind. Please that you look to that. Walk worthy of the vocation where you're called. If you're good at basketball, I keep coming back to that example because it's very good. If you're good at basketball, you need to do the best job you can do. You need to be at practice every time. You need to be at the ball games every time, on time. Hey, how about even being a little early? And you even put in extra time practicing shooting those hoops at home over and over and over again so that you can be good, so that you can be the best. Oh, my friend, that we could have the same, not for the furtherance of to bring a trophy home or to stand before a multitude of people and flaunt our talents. Not for any of that. No, that we can be pleasing unto Jesus Christ. That folks will be saved because we have a walk and a talk. That we're striving together for the faith of the gospel. Together, one mind. Now let's talk about this one mind just for a couple minutes. One spirit and one mind. It's so important that we look unto the Lord Jesus. It's so important that our heart and our life be pleasing unto the Lord Jesus. You know, in verse 10 of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 10, it says that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. And it just continues. I love the Word of God. I love studying the precious Word of God. But you know, it's important that we walk worthy. There's only one way we can walk worthy, and that's be with one mind. Now, to be in one mind, now you know how much I believe in the local church, and you know how much that I dislike and despise other organizations and groups that take away from the local church. The only way we will have the power of God, that we will fill this requirement or this opportunity of becometh the gospel of Christ, that our conduct, our way of walk, is that we be of one mind. Now you see, to be of one mind is that you and me, we are looking unto the face of the Lord Jesus. We are looking to the cross of Calvary for salvation because Jesus died on the cross. We know that's what the Word of God says, that Jesus come to seek and to save those that are lost. We know that. So we trust in Jesus. We walk after Jesus. We know that it's by faith only, not by works. Not by works, but by faith in Jesus Christ, that Jesus went to the cross. Jesus was man and God. Jesus went to the cross and died upon that cross. He shed his blood upon that cross. And he did that to buy us, to redeem us, because we're sinners and we're lost. And that's what the Word of God says. And you need to set your eyes upon Jesus Christ and trust by faith in him for salvation, to be saved. Please, that you can come and have your sins forgiven, that your ticket in heaven is purchased then, because you've come by faith to Jesus. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is precious and powerful blood. You need to believe in Jesus Christ and his resurrection. You need to believe that after you've been saved, after you've been born again, that you follow the Lord in baptism, spiritual baptism, that you go down into the water and it pictures the death of the Lord Jesus. As you go under the water and as you come up out of the water, it pictures the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Oh, my friend, to know Jesus Christ and to study his Word of God, that's the people I have fellowship with. That's the people that I'm of one spirit and one mind, because we walk together in Jesus Christ. I have no desire to go to any big meeting anywhere or anything else where I have folks that disagree with the Word of God. Now, maybe you can say that, oh, it's a good time, had a good fellowship. Oh, they spend a lot of time talking about the family and how they want to put the family back together. That's fine. But I'll tell you what, stick to the local church, to the preaching of the Word of God. You learn and study the Word of God. And again, as a precious scripture of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's a sweet, precious Word of God. Let's look at the other half of that verse now. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know why you want to get away from the house of God and want to get into one of these big groups and big meetings? Because you don't like the instruction of the Word of God. You don't like the power of the Word of God. And you can go someplace else away from the local church, away from the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, and say, oh, they proclaim the Word of God. Oh, they sing about Jesus. Oh, they talk about Jesus. So do cults. You need to get back to the house of God, into the local church, where you can hear the Word of God and listen to that instruction. And I'll tell you what, change your heart. You're prideful. You're not giving, you're wanting. You continue to ask and continue to beg for things. My friend, please, that you search out the will of God. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that precious Word of God, that you live Christ. You're acting like Jesus Christ. You're walking after Christ. You're very humble because you know you've been bought and paid for. You were sinful and you were a sinner and you were proud and there was no way that you could do anything about your condition. So you came to Jesus. And you know, when you have someone that has taken away a debt that you have, they have totally taken it away, and it's gone. It's gone forever. You should rejoice, be on your knees praising and thanking the one that's taken that debt away. And you would never do anything or be with someone to say you're worshiping and fellowshipping with another person that has a different lodge, a different theology as that. Please, that you becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's a beautiful verse of Scripture. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?